So hi everybody and welcome to another editorial podcast session for actually our first podcast for January 2022. And this podcast is in support of content management. And we're obviously focusing on content management for this month. And it's been a very exciting month in terms of the content that we've received so far and the editorial material we've received. And joining us on this podcast, I'm thrilled to introduce again to helping us with this session is Sarah Fultz, who is the Vice President of Distribution at MGM Resorts. Sarah, lovely to have you joining us again. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Happy to be here, Andre.
Wonderful. Also joining Sarah is Gianna Rivera, who is the Vice President of Distribution and Connectivity at Wyndham Hotels and Resorts, and also a member of the board at Hedna. So Gianna, lovely to have you joining us as well. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Excited to be here with you guys.
And last but not least, we have Natalie Kimball, and Natalie is the Vice President of Strategic Account Management for Shiji Distribution Solutions. And Natalie, thank you so much for being here. It's great to have you as well on this session.
Thank you so much. This is great company. I'm excited for the talk today. Thank you.
Yeah, actually, it really is. I'm super excited about today's session too, because I know each and every one of you have a very in-depth knowledge on content and on obviously distribution and connectivity. So I think this should really be a great conversation. But before we get into it, I just want to try to, give an overview of what we want to try to cover in today's session. And, you know, when it comes to content management, optimizing the management of, for example, hotel photography and video content for optimum representation of a hotel's rooms, features and services. And according to Forbes, 91% of consumers prefer interactive and visual content over traditional text-based or static media. So obviously beautiful high-res images are going to be an absolute must for hotels to present. So what are the current technology solutions supporting effective distribution across all critical channels of content, such as imagery, videos, product, as well as rate descriptions, etc.? And what are the challenges and the opportunities? And it also should be noted before we get into the conversation that content doesn't just mean one or two things. It can actually mean a various number of different areas, such as obviously rates, room types, inventory, and then of course your images and your videos. So we want to try to really cover that component. And I'd also would also like to get into the piece because in the article that Sarah and Anne Cole co-wrote, they spoke about static content perhaps being a term that we should maybe start to move away from and that we should just put it all under content. So perhaps Sarah, let's start with you, because you know, obviously static content versus dynamic content, we've kind of, that's the traditional way we describe it. But would you like to maybe just start by going into perhaps the areas of why you feel we need to maybe just step away from that terminology and just maybe call it content and then break that down in terms of the content that we're working with specifically?
Sure. I think that traditionally we said static and dynamic content because of the content systems, the technology that we used in the past. And today we just need to look at content as snippets of information that users want to find out information about the hotel. So we need to look at how we distribute the content differently, how we curate it and how it's displayed on the channels, and not look at it as one is more important than the other or how it actually gets to the third party system.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing as well is I think kind of coming into that is focusing about how content should be thought of by channel, as it seems to be kind of managed differently for each. So Gianna, maybe you can talk a little bit to that point as well, because I mean, if you're talking with a hotelier from a mid-size level, even to an independent kind of level hotel where that might just be a single operation property, they may not kind of fully focus or understand the difference between that. So what does content per channel really mean?
Yeah, I think it's super interesting these days, because at the end of the day, when you look at a property, if I ever have a chance to speak to a property, whether a general manager or revenue management or, you know, director of sales, my question is always, or statement is always the same. I always, you know, mention and say, what is it that brings a consumer to stay at your hotel? What are the things that they ask for, look for when they check in? And any of those things, whatever it is content. It's an opportunity for you to put on the shelf and help us sell, you know, that particular experience, that service. It's not only the bed, right, and the room to sleep in. It's all of those things that that make your property desired by that particular consumer. And so the conversation around what are the different types of content streams that occur today, I think you're absolutely right on. We need to stop having the conversation around static content and dynamic content. Those two paths are just really those two terms really are describing the path by which different types of content is getting to an end consumer. And so, you know, I think that it's more about these days understanding how do we bring those paths together so that we can answer the call to the consumer when they're looking to shop or, you know, book a hotel.
Yeah. And just to be specific for the listener, because perhaps some listeners might not understand what we mean by content per channel, we're really talking about brand.com, so hotel's own website, the call center, if they have a call center set up for a number of different hotels, third-party OTAs, wholesale, metasearch, etc., third-party GDSs. So they're all the different types of channels where content needs to be disseminated to. So Natalie, would you like to also perhaps give us your thoughts on this piece? Because obviously coming from the vendor's perspective, that's, I think, a challenge as well for you guys in order to be able to assist hotels so that they can best manage that. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, if we go back into the history, because I've been at this for over 20 years when LVRS, which was the Las Vegas reservation system, this whole kind of model in the merchant space started. And, you know, we were talking about run of house. It was a bed. It was a rate. And that was it. And when you look at the way that that has evolved, everybody has had to adapt in a way that has resulted in Band-Aids. Our entire content strategy is built on Band-Aids, bungee cords, and some duct tape. So because we've gone from it's not a run a house, it's now a guaranteed room, and then it's a guaranteed view, and then it's a guaranteed, Gianna hit it on the head. Being able to get down to exactly why a customer is checking into the hotel is part of that content. But it may not matter to someone booking on a third party versus booking on brand.com. So you have to then dial down into what does your customer actually want to see? So it's so incredibly complex. And, you know, I think about as sitting in the middle as a technology provider and having worked on property, I can tell you, I think that the hotels will forever always be the ones having to manage all of these pressure points. They're not only managing the way that the customer is seeing the information, digesting the information, they then have to manage the expectation of what is out there. So heaven forbid, as a fur mom, I've got dogs and trying to find a pet policy, holy cow, it's the size of the dog, it's the number of dogs, it is so incredibly complex. And customers, when they find a trusted brand, because they won't even look, from what we've found, they won't even look into the actual details on the content because it's a trusted brand. Mm. I know exactly what I'm gonna get when I stay at X property. So looking down into whether or not I can see the individual content pieces, not necessarily important, but building that through content, that's your only marketing resource you have until the customer is actually on property.
Yeah. We come back to the point of, I think you've each in your own way have mentioned this, it's making sure you get the right content in front of the potential booker or the customer so that you're really appealing to what it is that they're looking for. However, that in itself is a massive challenge when you think about how we have data that's dispersed across so many different platforms within a hotel tech stack typically, or within an ecosystem of technology. And we have found in our industry it's very difficult to somehow, bring all of that data into a single source a single source of a point of access, so that all systems can access it, and so that when you have potential bookers coming to your site, they know what they have to put in front of that person. So in theory, a lot of hoteliers that might be listening would probably say, sounds great, but how do we do that? Because it's just not possible. So Sarah, I see you're nodding your head there. So would you like to give us your thoughts on that? Because again, I know obviously what you do with your job is plays a key role in this, but also this was something that you, I think, focused very heavily on in your time at Hedner as well, when you were president with Hedner, because I know you wanted to try to bring this conversation to the forefront. And this is what I'm saying, it's the data that kind of folds into it. So we're talking about content, but without the right data, it's kind of useless, right? And without being able to disseminate it properly, there are challenges there. So how do you feel as we can work around this? What's the best way to solve this?
So the challenges are going to be different by the type of hotel that you have, right? The bigger brands have an advantage. Many of them have content systems that they've developed even in-house, that they can put all the content in. It powers the content on the website. It can push to third parties. And then we have the core systems, whether it's a property management system or a central reservation system that you have. Your content would need to go in that system for brand.com on the booking engine, right? The room descriptions, the rate descriptions, and your call center. And so it comes down to what content are you putting into those systems. And many of us, even the big brands, I think Gianna can speak to that, have different ways of distributing their content. So I think for the smaller hotels, what's most important is, and the biggest problems they have is gathering the content, right? It's getting the content and then it's getting it out on those channels. The third parties are mostly the OTAs are constantly adding and changing content fields because they want to have the advantage over brand.com. So they're pushing us every single day to make sure we're in their systems and we're adding those content fields. I would say we could partner better with them if they were to communicate with us when they add content. They don't always do that. We catch it when we audit and we say, oh, this channel or this partner added new content. So I think that we need to come together. I know there was conversations in the industry about creating a content hub. I think the technology partners need to come together with the hoteliers and sit down and have a conversation. It's usually the last conversation I have. If I have QBRs with my partners or meetings with my technology partners, content is always the last point on the agenda or in the conversation, and it needs to move up because after, as a consumer, you check that rate, the next thing you do, if the rate is good, is start to look at the images. And then if you like the images of the hotel, then you start to look at the detail. And as Natalie pointed out that about her fur babies, you have to have that content be for what the consumer wants. If I'm doing a spa weekend, if I'm there with a small group, social. So it's a big effort. And the last point I'll say, you can see I'm very passionate about this topic, is you need to invest in the people. You have to have somebody focusing on content at the hotel. And I know, unfortunately, during COVID, that was one of the first positions to get furloughed or laid off. Also, our partners, many of our partners actually stripped their content teams as well. So hopefully, as we come back as an industry, we can get these content teams together, get the technology partners together, and get these conversations going again.
Mm. Well, and if I just, can I say, like, I think that there's an interesting intersection when you look at everything that Sarah just said is only from what the hotel sees, right? So if you've got, Gianna has a brand of 9,000 properties from 2 to 5 stars. I mean, it's so incredibly diverse. So when you talk about amenities at a 2 versus a 5, they could not be more dramatic. It's every single field versus maybe a couple. Think about then that third party, that OTA, who says let's think about like a brand like Agoda, where you have Priceline, all the way up to the high, like they're featuring every single type. So how do they know when someone comes in that the content they would present on Priceline would be the right content that would be presented on Agoda? Then again, tack in, how long is that customer staying? What location are they coming from? What amenities matter to them? So from what Sarah's saying, if you can think about the, you know, GRS, CRS, PMS, all of these wonderful abbreviations where all the data lives, what about one beautiful place where you literally could have all that information? And then you have the OTAs come in and say, you kind of, the hotels say, look, it's all there. You go get it. If you want to target a customer for a luxury for a spa weekend, go get it. It's all in there. I'm not sending you everything. Here's the whole package. Pick apart the pieces that you want. So I think it's taking that idea of the content being piecemealed to the hotel saying, here's the entire buffet. Take what you want. And that's up to us technology partners to be able to deliver that.
You know, that's exactly right. I agree with Sarah in certain points that you made, but I would disagree to say that the bigger chains have it figured out. I think that whether you're a big chain or a small chain, at the end of the day, we're all trying to distribute a property, one property, right? And so I think that, you know, what the piece that we're missing is A, automation, right? We need to figure out a way how to gather this content. Again, whether it's for independent properties and or big franchise companies or management companies running, you know, thousands of hotels, we still need to gather the content from the individual property, collect it, then be able to create some kind of structure around that content, which I think we've made some progress over the last few years, specifically since COVID and the help that we've received from HTNGD and the OTA, the Open Travel Alliance, and helping us get some structure around some of the new fields that have been implemented and as a result of the demand from the consumers with the health and safety, which is great. So we're on track there, but we still need to focus more on, you know, how do we automate some of the creation and the governance? And I know, Andrea, I mentioned this before, yeah, because it's important. If we have partners like Google developing their own content, and then you have the OTAs developing their own, we end up with this, you know, massive mapping exercise yet again, and a content is still very segregated. And we need to be working towards the opposite of that and bringing us back together in some kind of cohesive vision and plan where we could, you know, to Natalie's point, we can collect data, curate data in some similar fashion, and then be able to distribute that, whether it's distribution to our own direct channels or to our partners.
So Sarah, you mentioned when you were answering initially that we need to have essentially a content hub. So I kind of want to ask each of you, who is that hub? Are they available now? Does the company exist? Or is that something that we need as an industry to be created? Is it something that Leonardo should do, or Ice Portal, or perhaps even DerbySoft? Now, I know for a fact DerbySoft were looking at potentially setting up a content hub a number of years ago, but I don't know what happened to it. Clearly, it must have had its challenges. So who does the responsibility fall to, do you think? What do you think is a way we can get around it?
I'm sorry, you asked the question to Sarah, and here I am jumping in.
No, please go ahead. Go ahead.
Typical me. You know, it's interesting because I think that if you would have asked this question 30 some odd years ago to the GDS, it's the same question, right? So the question was, we have 4-5 systems at the time, and they're all inputting information, and we're taking the cards and moving them back and forth between green screens, and someone had to come in and answer that. And again, the answer, I believe, is technology. It's the sad case that what's the first thing to go into your budget in the new year? Content investments. What's the first thing to come out about Q2? Content investments, right? It's the first thing to be added into a budget, and usually it's the first thing to be cut.
I hope so. I do see, particularly in this last year or so, that the conversation around content, first of all, it's lifting a lot of eyebrows, right? And areas and functions in our organizations that perhaps never really considered content, right? And so I think the difference is that, at least from where I sit today, there is an opportunity to continue to tell the story. I think we have people's attention and their ears. But I also have to put the onus back onto the technology partners. I mean, from a hotel perspective, I think hoteliers, we need to sit together and say, okay, you know, we need to come up with some solutions, and let's work through what are some of the potential solutions that, you know, could solve for every single type of hotel company out here, right? And then from a technology perspective, I think we need to do the same. Technology companies have to do the same to be able to talk to each other and understand how does this solve. It doesn't help us from a hotel perspective to have a solution partner come up with a concept or an idea that is unique to them. And then again, I'll go back to like the OTAs and what Google and everybody else is doing on the distribution side. We need a solve that is cohesive, right? And if you want to compete, you can continue to compete. We always welcome competition. There's room for Leonardo, there's room for CG. Let's make it work, right?
And I think that's the interesting point is that it has to be, the idea of a hub is that all-encompassing universal charger that I can take with me when I travel. If it doesn't work for MGM, but it works for Wyndham, it's useless. Yeah. So I think that that's what we've done a lot in this industry, which is what has created the duct tape, spongy cord. And, you know, we need surgery. We need a full surgery on content. And, you know, I can tell you from, you know, where we sit at Shiji, we've got all of that image content. And you're right, with the high res, we see this over and over again. We used to report, I mean, the way that the numbers go up on high res images, when you first, opened the conversation, Andre, that continues to be what people are still looking for. And yet we're still getting all these messages in the ARI, but they're still being sent on Tuesday. It makes no sense.
Yes. So I do want to say something to that. And Sarah, I'm sorry. I know that we've kind of like taken over here, but I think one of the things that's interesting to see some of the OTAs also kind of leverage and take advantage of is this new technology platform that we refer to as fintech or a variation of blockchain or however you want to refer to it. But at the end of the day, what I think that has been understood by some of these players is that it is one transaction, right? It's one transaction. And today we treat it three different ways. We have ARI for availability rates and inventory. We have this beautiful term that I'm not going to, I'm going to repeat again, sorry, descriptive content that sits someplace else. Then we have another path that handles commissions. I'm like, this is ridiculous. It's one message. If we can all agree that this is the one message that gets the property sold, the room type sold with the terms and conditions, and understand where do we consolidate that information into one space. Is it time for us to think about blockchain or fintech? Is that the new GDS? Maybe. I don't know. It could be.
All right. Andre, if you don't mind, I want to come in here and I want to break this down. Because,
go for it, Sarah, please. The floor is yours.
At HEDNA, the content working group, we had lines out the door of people in the room wanting to talk about content, right? It's a topic that everyone wants to talk about. So I want to break it down. Let's break down the problems, okay? So yes, Gianna, I agree. The big brands do not have it figured out. I think the advantage I was trying to allude to that the big brands have is they have the money and the technology to develop a content management system in-house that most brands won't have, but I definitely know you guys don't have it figured out. Nobody has it figured out. And to your point, it needs to work, or to Natalie's point, it needs to work for, you know, if it works for MGM and if it works for a small hotel and a large hotel. So a couple of things I want to say, because I've pushed my partners, my technology partners, on this topic, and they know I push hard. So I think one of the things is everybody has different goals, right? So if we're building a content management system for our website, right, that is all the content that's going to be on corporate and it's going to be on all the property websites, which is different than the booking engine content, right? The booking engine content typically comes from the PMS or the CRS, which is also very different fields and requirements that are required on the OTAs, the wholesalers, and the GDSs, right? Which are traditionally these check boxes and fill in the blanks, right? And then images is a whole other story. So part of it is, right, you'd have to have a content hub that would have all of these fields and all of the requirements for all channels. And nobody has really wanted to come together and build that. I mean, for the web teams, do they really want to have to learn third party when they're just trying to build a content management system or adapt a content management system for their website? And then the distribution team needs to come in and say, wait a second, you need these 400 fields for GDS and you need these other 200 fields to send to the OTAs. So I think we have to take a step back and talk about why this traditionally hasn't worked. And then the other thing I'm going to put out there, because we have to say it, is, and a lot of my technology partners have bluntly said this to me, this is not a moneymaker for them, right? So it's a huge investment to build the technology. And then what is the, what would the cost be, right? And how would they make revenue? So, I mean, I know that Shiji and Leonardo are very reasonably priced, right? So how do they make money if they're going to invest in that? I mean, I brought up the conversation about, because we're very limited in how we can get GDS content out to the GDSs. I've brought up those conversations with technology partners that I work with, and they've bluntly said to me, Sarah, there is no money in this for us. We don't want to touch this. So I think those, I would love to hear from Natalie on this coming from the technology side, because those are the, what I'm hearing from my technology partners.
Yeah. And I think that we have to, so part of the way that there's two ways you can play in the middle, right? For the moneymaker, is it volume or is it unique? So the way that we see things, fortunately, Shiji is part of a much larger brand. So we've got so many tentacles within the hospitality industry, but when you look at just the ARI and the image piece with the acquisition of Ice Portal, we look at it and we see that as a industry changer. So we are critically focused, I can tell you, in 2020. I kind of wish we were having this conversation in 6 months. Maybe we should again. For us, the money-making part, you're totally right. You have to have the CapEx to be able to put the time, money, resource. There is no, hey, build it and they will come. This is going to produce, again, when I said that thing about the brand, we see it the same way. We would rather be a trusted partner that can provide a OTA, wholesaler, GDS, or a hotel partner, or in this case, maybe, and Airbnb or whatever. I mean, the vacation market is completely changing. We'd rather be that person in the middle that can provide a seamless and easy solution across the board. So we see it as it's worth the time to make the investment because someone has to do something. And so we're kind of looking.
Wouldn't you think that, when you talked about earlier, we need surgery, I think in order for us as an industry to think about transformation in this space, we need to be willing to have those tough conversations, Sarah. Yeah. It's like if the model that, these two companies have today is not the best model, and what is it going to take? If you need to include a financial transaction in there, then maybe that's part of the surgery. It's like historically you've been known for providing these kinds of service. Maybe that needs to be expanded, right? Maybe you're in the best position to be able to have that kind of open heart surgery and maybe just add some new services.
It doesn't mean what's interesting is if you think about the way that this has all evolved, it was all essentially based on GDS. It was all modification of the way GDS was done. But think about today, when you're booking through Agencia, through Concur, through any of these parties, these sites, are you looking at images? Not really. Are you looking at the content? Not really. You're looking at the rate and the location, right? So we have taken a model that has now evolved where it doesn't matter how far from city center in a GDS script that it is written. What matters is what is the negotiated rate. So it's funny to see how GDS is kind of, the consumer has evolved, but yet the technology has not evolved to solve for how consumers are actually shopping now. So it's kind of a backwards, we're kind of like, well, we've edited what was out there because GDS was all we had. And now GDS is a completely different beast altogether. But yet we haven't made that tweak on the other end, which is what we see as a critical turning point in the industry. And it's going to take all of us. It may be a point where MGM has to say, look, these are the only fields that we're passing to GDS. Or like, does Expedia really need 17 different ways to say free Wi-Fi? I don't think so, right? So it's going to take all of us coming together and finally saying, we've got to do something. We've been talking about this for 20 years.
So how does that happen, Natalie? Because it hasn't happened so far. And I guess what I'm trying to get to is how do we get to that point? Like, where's the impetus? Where's the motivation for people to really do this? Because it's clearly a problem.
It has been.
Yeah, and it's causing, I mean, ultimately as well, it means more work for the end point, which is the hotel, because they've got to do so much more to make everything correct or to ensure that their content is correct across different channels. So how do we resolve this? I mean, there has to be a way.
There has to be a way. And the fact that, you know, we're still 20 years later, even using the word space A and spreadsheets, like, I mean, come on, right? Like, how is that even still possible when you can literally have some, you know, person show up with food from a restaurant at your door within 15 minutes? Like, we have been talking about it. I can tell you what we have seen in the last 2 years is that if we can't solve for this, we see it as a critical piece now of business to be able to provide service. We cannot just sit in the middle and say, well, here's your images. Well, here's your ARI. We hope that you have a great day. We have to, as a technology provider, step into the middle of the ring and say, what data points? I mean, there has been so much collection of data points between what HT&G has done, between what Aetna has done. The list goes on and on and on. So we have the data. We need someone to step in the middle and say, here's how it's going to work. And that will take GDS. It will take all of us. And it may take at some point Wyndham and all the big guys and the Hiltons and the Hyatts and the Marriotts and everybody to say, as an industry, we have to stop getting in this hamster wheel. Mm. And we have decided together as an industry. And I think that that's why Gianna brings up Google. And I think that's one of the best examples because they have continued to augment and create. And all they're doing is kind of creating more drama. But if we all come together and say, this is a collective thing, and then we have this spec. I mean, think about when the first OTA, you know, spec came out, right? Like that was a big deal. And somehow that was easier than content. So it's a beast of a project, but I can tell you, Shiji as a company, we see it as a critical path to not only helping the industry, but also, you know, kind of carving out who we want to be in the industry.
Yeah.
And I don't want to like oversell like that whole part of it. I'm just saying that like we've gotten to the point where in the last 2 years, we've seen how incredibly critical. Mm. We thought ads, changes, and deletes was a big deal and getting those, you know, updated. It's so much bigger than that.
Mm. And I know, Gianna, you wanted to say something, but I'd also just add, you know, you mentioned that there needs to be surgery done on it. And I agree. And I think what has to happen perhaps is everybody needs to come together and forget about how things have been done in the past. Try to walk in with a blank slate attitude and say, we are now living in 2022. We're not living in the 60s or the 70s anymore. We have the internet. We have a whole different ecosystem, if you like, that we are working within. So we now need to come up with a model that's going to support us for today, but also for the future. So how do we do that? And I think if obviously commercials is the underlying point for everybody involved. So if we can get to a commercial model that works for the supplier or the provider who does this, then I think that's a major hurdle. Because as you guys have all said, unless there's incentive from a commercial side, why would the vendors step up and say, okay, yeah, we'll do this? I mean, I could say, well, perhaps they should do it because it's something the industry needs, and it's for the better, it's for the development and the betterment of us overall. And maybe the lead needs to come from a major vendor that has enough financial backing to be able to perhaps invest in it initially. And when they come to a commercial model that does start to generate revenue from it, they'll maybe start to make it up. But perhaps there has to be a loss initially so that we get it right for the industry. It's a bit controversial when I say that, I know, but
yeah, I mean, I would, Gianna, I'd love to know how you feel about this, but as a hotelier, but I personally would love to see one of our not-for-profit associations or maybe them together. You know, I think Aetna and HT&G came together, right? Right now they spun up that content working group to push to get the standards for the new, you know, the cleaning protocols and the COVID, all the content fields that came out with COVID. And I personally, so that this solution can benefit all hotels and not just big brands, I think a governing body needs to come in and try and help solution it. I think I'm living in my idealistic world because money drives everything and it's usually volunteers that are coming to do that. But Gianna, what are your thoughts on that?
No, I totally agree. I do think that we have made some progress on the technology side. And I think HT&G and Aetna have, you know, are on the right track on helping and facilitate this conversation, where I think maybe there's an opportunity. And I was going to ask you, Sarah, for, you know, better collaboration or maybe just ensuring that we have the same narrative across is with HSMAI, right? Because when we talk about, you know, the big larger companies and that discrepancy that exists within those companies or even our, you know, individual hotels, where, you know, I think you were very, you're right. If you break it down, you know, you have three different distinctive channels, right? And you actually mentioned, you forgot to mention mobile.
That's right.
You know, now that's another element, but you know, a lot of our companies think about those channels specifically in individual ways. And I don't think that that's unique to one company or another. I think it's holistically the way that the approaches are, the marketing approaches and strategies are implemented. And I think that, you know, we need to continue the conversation there, or at least help aid those conversations. Let's unify those, that thought process, right? And help them understand that at the core is this issue called content. And if we can fix it, we can fix it across the board for everything, right? So if we can get them aligned with the other associations that are more involved in the technical side, maybe we start to see some kind of progress, right? So I would love to see maybe some sort of, you know, we go through this exercise with both of these associations that we just talked about, and then bring that kind of that conversation, bridge it back to HSMAI and the folks there that are involved with distribution, and help us tell the story. We may be able to get more traction on this topic.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay. You know, and it's interesting thinking and just hearing this conversation. If you think about the priorities and focus of those in leadership at hotel companies, we're seeing such a shift in leadership and who's it's more inclusive. I mean, we're sitting here talking to three women who have done a lot for the industry, be it through volunteer work, be it through HEDNA, be it through different things. So what I do believe, you've got three very passionate people who are continuing to grow in their careers and who are continuing to make influence. So I think that may be one of the biggest shifts, and when it will, why it will actually happen now, because we all really care and we see the importance, because we have been at pretty much every level within the hotel industry. And we're now at the point where we get to start making decisions and strategies. So I think that that's what's going to make this finally start to make an impact, is that you're seeing people who are super passionate about making this a priority.
Sounds very good, Natalie. That sounds like there's opportunity there for change to be made. With people in the right right positions to make certain decisions, then obviously the right decisions will be made. So that does sound very positive. Okay, I'd like to shift gears a little bit, because and focus a little bit now on the images, because I know from images and video that that's always been a major challenge for hotels, especially smaller brands as well, and independents. Sarah, you mentioned it before because of the cost associated to creating the images necessary. So what I'd like to try to do is kind of, as we come towards the end of this session, is try to focus on, in your mind, what would be the best solution regarding this for hotels and their images. So that might even be the most cost-effective. You know, today, for example, mobile phones have extremely powerful cameras on them. They make very good images and they can take very good video. And if you are creative, or you have a creative person, you'd be surprised what you could create from it. Is that an alternate option for some hotels that might not have a budget? Is it realistic? And I'd like to get your thoughts on that, because images, for some reason, a lot of hotels still don't really understand the value of the image and presenting the room, the hotel itself, its facilities through the images. They play such an important role. And I think we've discussed a very big topic already, and this is one component of it, but it constantly seems to be a challenge that comes up as well. So, Sarah, let's start with you.
Yeah, the listeners can't see me looking at Natalie's face, because when you said using your mobile device to take an image, I mean, that was traditionally a no-no, right? Like before mobile phones had these great cameras, you would never, I mean, hotels were doing it, but it was so obvious when you were on an OTA and you were looking and somebody took an image. But I want to take a step back too, right? One of the biggest challenges is you have to get your hotel ready for this photo shoot. So for those of us that run high occupancies, it can be very difficult to find a time to do a photo shoot for a hotel. Even if you're using an outside company or you're trying to do it internally, whatever method, it's very difficult, right? I'm a big fan of not having people in your images, right? So you'd have to find the time. How do you clear out and take pictures, it has to be everything, right? You have to show the entire hotel. Guests are looking for every part of the hotel. So I think that that's the number one challenge, right? Is finding the time, setting up the room, making sure that you even have the knowledge to do that. What angles should you take the images at? And then the how is the question, right? For I think every brand struggles with that, or every hotel struggles with how do you do this within the budget? It's photo shoots are extremely expensive, and you have to also keep up with it, right? So how many years before you have to take the next photo shoot? So I am going to maybe defer to Natalie to say, I would love to hear your feedback, Natalie, on using your iPhone to take an image nowadays.
Don't do it. No, I mean, and that's you're right. I mean, there were times I remember, you know, at, like at Orbitz, we would get photos and they were legitimately the GM or the housekeeper. And it was like, oh, no, we cannot use these. So, you know, I think that it is hard. And again, it's one of those things. Imagery is so critical and it is such an investment. And any GM says, what's my return on investment? Even if it's a 1 or 2% occupancy increase, that really isn't enough. Because here's the thing. What do we not produce anymore? Brochures, right? Brochures was the reason you would go to powwow or you would go to a show and you would literally have your brochure and say, this is my property and this is the what we have. And that is why you invested in it. And generally speaking, it was a 3-star and above. You just didn't do it for, you know, 1 or 2-star properties. So, you know, maybe there's an opportunity for some, you know, a smart person to come up with an idea on how to really be an affordable resource for globally for imagery, because it, I didn't even think about what you said, Sarah, was the staging of it. And the fact that, you know, you do have to have the lovely tray on the bed if it's a 5-star and the robe and the, like, those things are not typically set up in a room. So there is so much involved, and the occupancy, and the, you know, you don't want a room full, a casino shop where people are falling over, right? So it has to be very strategically planned. And I never really thought through that. You know, a Sunday morning at 3 a.m. probably still going to be pretty crazy in a casino hotel. So yeah, you know, I think that's part of the solution that needs to come with it, is that, you know, as a content, when we do this surgery, we really take it back and say, here are the recommended guidelines. Obviously, if you do a soft or a hard reno, you know, take those pictures. It should be part of it. Include X number. You know, make sure that the content is refreshed on at least these 4 areas. If it's room, bathroom, and amenity, right? So if it's the screenshot of the muffin and the coffee, those can go every 5 years. But I think that, you know, there should be some either brand standards, industry standards that we come up with, because I certainly haven't seen anything that kind of says, here's what we recommend as an industry. And maybe there's another opportunity.
However, certain OTA providers have requirements. You have to have 4 bathroom shots or 6 bedroom shots. So it's important, if you're going to embark on some sort of photo shoot, that you understand the requirements of all channels so you get all the right pictures.
Very true.
Good point.
Yeah, that is very true.
And I would add to that to say, you know what, it's a merchandising tool. And the OTAs have proven that to us. You don't need more proof than that. There's a reason why each one of them is requiring 4 bathroom photos. Maybe we don't think it sells. It must be selling. Because if you don't have it, it's not going to, you know, you're not going to score what you need to score. You're not going to be displaying the way that you want to display. So I don't know that we need to argue about the validity of the photos. I think from my perspective, I think it's all about making it easy for the hotels, because of all those reasons that you guys just talked about, which are valid. It's making it easy for a hotel to not have to think about what is the photo that's important and how do I get it, you know, how do I take the photo and how do I get it loaded? And so I think I'm going to say this again, it's going to come down to automation, right? It's automation, and the automation needs to take into account not just the photo on the phone, but, you know, how do we curate that photo, right? Does it have the right, are there the right rules around taking that photo and posting it somewhere? And so those processes need to be thought of. And we as hoteliers need to do a better job at competing with our distribution partners on making it easier for hotels to provide those photos.
Yeah, and I mean, to that point, Gianna, think about when you talk about a phone. When Hotel Tonight first came, they were one of the first very few app only. They couldn't get an image to display on the screen to save their life. And that was when they started taking a lot of, but portrait versus landscape, and a cropped image does not look the same if it's an exterior photo of a sky, of a, you know, of a high rise. So again, that then translates into how can you feed back the information from an OTA when they say, we promise you 4 photo cells. Okay, great. Well, they could be taking an image and flipping it. Okay, well, provide that back to me. If that's useful and that's converting, let me use that on brand.com. So I think that, again, the more we open up that entire conversation, understand there's always going to be brand.com. There's always going to be OTA. There's always going to be GDS. There's always going to be a separate segment for all these different customers. But how do you share that information all the way back? They're the ones doing the research. They're the ones with the, you know, the A and B tests that are going relentlessly and spending all the money to understand what converts. Share that back with your hoteliers.
Yep.
Yep. Very good. Ladies, we've reached our time. Yes, we have. We are actually over. So we're going to have to wrap it up here. But I just wanted to say thank you again, all of you, for your input. And I think it's been extremely thought-provoking, this conversation. And I hope that it generates more thought and discussion amongst the industry as a whole as well. So let's try to keep the message going out there. The content is something that needs to be given more priority and perhaps a lot more focus in terms of the way we work with it in a modern world that we're currently focused with or presented with at the moment. So for you, the listener, thank you again very much for tuning in and for listening. And of course, thank you for your support. We greatly appreciate you being a subscriber and being a part of the Tech Talk Travel ecosystem and community, and we hope that you found this conversation helpful and beneficial. If you'd like to reach out to any of the ladies that would joined us in this session, I'm sure they'd welcome that and would be very happy to have any ongoing discussion with you. They're all on LinkedIn, and I'm sure you could reach out to them through LinkedIn as well. Ladies, Gianna, Natalie, and Sarah, thank you again so much. Greatly appreciated. And yeah, we look forward to seeing you all again in person sometime, but until then, perhaps virtually.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks guys. That's it for now. So until next time, it's bye for now.